another year of growth for the Virginia Regional Festival of Flight. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is DeWitt Whittington, who is the Public Relations Chairman of the Virginia Regional Festival of Flight. We like to get together with Dee about this time each year and talk about the event. It's coming up this weekend, May 22nd and 23rd, at SFQ, the Suffolk, Virginia Airport. And hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, Sunday 8 to 4. It's focused on experimentals and light sport aircraft, but there's an awful lot going on in other categories too. And Dee, thanks for taking some time out from what I know is going to be a frantic week to talk to our listeners today.
It sure is, but thank you so much for the opportunity.
Well, Dee, give us just a brief background on the event, how long it's been going on, and if you had to boil down what the purpose of the event is, what would that be?
This is our 13th year. The first 10 years, we were just south of Richmond, Virginia at the Dinwiddie County Airport, and then after many years of pleading, the city of Suffolk convinced us that we should move to their airport just 40 miles or so west of Virginia Beach, Norfolk area. And it has turned out to be a wonderful move from the standpoint of all the support they've given us. And the event is really, it's focused on public education for aviation, aerospace education, I guess, is the way our 501c3 to the IRS is written. And we do focus on that. So, you know, it's not just people flying in and flying out and sitting and talking and whatever. And that's why we have such a focus on workshops, forums, stuff for kids, and trying to get, people to know what light aircraft and small aircraft are about. And so that's why one of the reasons we don't have an air show, that allows us to keep the field open all the time. We don't have to shut down and have an air show. And the pilots really love that. And we get more planes that way. So we're continuing to grow and very, very happy with our new location.
Well, Dee, when I look at your schedule, this is one of those events where if you're going for the workshops and the forums, you may have to pick and choose and may not get to see everything you want. You've got an awful lot crammed into 2 days.
Yes, we sure do. We just expanded. In fact, instead, we now have 7 tents for workshops and forums, and we've got a full schedule of 36 forums sessions and 6 workshop sessions. And there's no way that if you want to see A, you may have to miss B. Sorry.
Tell us a little bit about some of the presenters this year.
Well, yes, I did set them up this year, as I have for the last several years. Try to make sure that we have a wide range of things for different tastes, you might say. Something that's really interesting is we've got Dick Kohler, and a lot of people who are listening to this podcast probably know him. He won the Tony Bingeless Award in 2007, and he's very well known. He's done some of these little videos on the Experimenter, on EAA's Experimenter, mm-hmm. Online. Anyway, he's doing one called Engine Failure at 6,000 Feet. And it actually happened to him, and not that long ago. And he said he's going to bring the case from the engine that failed and discuss what happened and why and how he handled it, and then answer questions about things like that. He can answer anything on that an A&P would. So he's doing that plus other forums for us too. So he's a wonderful person to do that. Another thing that I am just super excited about is Pat Panzera, editor of the Experimenter, EA Experimenter, and Contact Magazines, is flying in from California. He will be there both days and will give multiple workshop or forum sessions. One on converting your Corvair engine, another one just generally talking about alternative engines. And any of you know Pat, you'll know that he's big into alternative engines. We also have an interesting person, as so I understand. I've never had the pleasure of meeting her, but Susan Parsons, she is the editor of the FAA safety briefing. Many of listening will probably remember that as FAA General Aviation News, and then Aviation News changed its name recently. She's out of the Washington FAA office, and I understand she does a really dynamite seminar. Hers will be weather-related, called Cloudy Skies, Clear Judgment. So we also have aircraft owner responsibilities for maintenance, and that's being done by our local FISDO, and will be an official WINGS credited safety seminar so that people can use that for WINGS credit. We have a fellow from a local, very active dealership for Technam light sport aircraft, and he'll be talking about the whole area of what light sport aircraft are about and answering questions. It's called Light Sport Aircraft and Flying Explained. It's just amazing. You've got to go on our website and take a look. The full list is up there of what's going on. Kent Misagades will be here from North Carolina. He was with us last year talking about the latest in fuels for sport aviation and light sport aircraft especially. And we know we have some big changes coming up with the potential loss of lead in 100 low lead and that sort of thing. So it's, you know, I could go on and on, but there is just a wide range of really good presentations.
Dee, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about something that's returning to your event after a hiatus. Dee Whittington is the Public Relations Chairman for the Virginia Regional Festival of Flight. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près de moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Platt, previewing this weekend's Virginia Regional Festival of Flight with Dee Whittington, the event's public relations chairman. Dee, I see Young Eagles back on your schedule for the first time in a while.
Yes, it is. Our event, it may be the same for any two-day or weekend event, generally gets much larger traffic and attendance on Saturday than Sunday. So for a number of years ago, we did do some Young Eagles flights, but because of the heavy traffic, and I'm telling you, the mornings, Saturday mornings, we go on a couple of hours, 2.5, 3 hours in Saturday morning, airplane every 30 seconds. It's pretty amazing. This is a non, you know, tower controlled field. So, this year we said, yes, we want to get back and do Young Eagles. Let's do them on Sunday. So we are. We're reintroducing Young Eagles flights from noon to three on Sunday. And in addition, something brand new for us. And that's, we call it a rally adventure. It's a 60, nautical mile triangular timed course where if you enter it, there's a small fee, I think about $10, and sign up to enter that. You fly it, and the categories are separated in fairly narrow horsepower categories, and essentially you're flying against the clock. It's a something that used to be done many years down at Sun and Fun. It isn't done now, I understand. But we're going to introduce it to our event on Sunday. So both of those are new events on Sunday. Another thing which I'd like to mention is that there are two organizations who have never been to our event will be there, both doing forums. And one is AOPA, Air Safety Foundation, J.J. Greenway, and also NTSB. Up their big office in Northern Virginia is sending down three people. So that I'm very excited about because it shows you that more and more of the various segments of the aviation world are coming to our event.
There's a couple others you should probably talk about. One is that NASA has a big involvement this year.
Yes. Luckily, we're not that far from NASA down there. NASA Langley, that is. It's maybe 45 miles and lots of employees around. And we've had their support with a couple of people for most all of our time. But this year, they're going to bring 10 people, their own large tent with three flight simulators in it, all aimed at kids with other activities, and so this will all be part of the youth area, which is expanded in addition to that. But yes, we're really happy about the increased participation that NASA's doing this year.
Well, this is a really neat environment for you guys. You have an airport that actually had been seeking you out and trying to get you to come for a number of years before you made the move. And I remember a little bit of trepidation at the time you were having your first event there. But it has worked out really well. You're near a larger population center. You have an airport that seems to be somewhat promotionally minded. And one of the great things, too, is that they don't gouge you on fuel. And I know that bothers some people at some events. Tell us about the relationship with the airport and the FBO there.
Oh, yes. That's really amazingly wonderful. Kent Marshall is the airport manager, and he really believes in us. And he's always been competitive on fuel, but he even cuts that price for us for that weekend. And not only that, his fuel was so popular last year, he couldn't keep up with two trucks. He got an extra 100-load truck. Well, this year, he's getting another truck, so he's going to have three. Two of them will roam the field looking for prop cards, and the third one will be essentially a stationary self-service in addition to the standard self-service island, which he normally has. And not only does that self-service island have 100 low lead, but it also has autogas, ethanol-free autogas, which is pretty rare in the state of Virginia. So he does very aggressive pricing and is really supportive from the fuel standpoint, in addition to doing many other things which help us out, including multiple mowings of the grass and came up with his own signage to go out on the road, and also helping us with some funds which are provided through the state of Virginia through the aviation tax fuel tax system to provide money to help us PR the whole event. So it's totally amazing. He's definitely supportive in every way he can be. And last year, the funny thing, he said he came to us after our event, and he said, you know, there are more airplanes on this by far during your event than ever in the history of the airport, or at least since World War II, I suppose. And that's why the airport was built. It was essentially a training base that was built in World War II. So he's been very happy with what's happened.
One last thing. Talk about the state of Virginia's aviation promotion wing. Are they still doing the ambassador program where you have the passports and that sort of thing?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. The state does have a very, I guess that when they first started it, a unique program. I understand North Carolina has started something sort of similar. It's called the Aviation Ambassador Program. You have a little booklet that you get that they've printed up. And as a pilot, if you fill the booklet up or half fill it, they have three different levels. But fully fill it is what most people do by visiting every airport in the state, attending a safety seminar, and going, I think you have to attend or visit five of the seven or eight aviation museums in the state. And you have special stamps to get them stamped. And then if you do all of it, the state will give you a really nicely a leather jacket that's embroidered with your name on it. It's pretty amazing. And what it's done, it's gotten more and more people to actually visit the wonderful general aviation infrastructure that Virginia has. State of Virginia will have their special tent where you can go over and get your book stamped. That's continuing to be part of their promotion for GA in this state, which we think is really super.
Well, Dee, I guess we'll refer folks to the website, virginiaflyin.org. No hyphens or anything else, just virginiaflyin.org. And they can get all the details that we didn't have time for here. Have a great event, Dee, and we'll look forward to talking to you afterward to see how it goes.
Thank you. I'll be excited to tell you how great it was, and I'm sure it will be.
Dee Whittington is the Public Relations Chairman for the Virginia Regional Festival of Flight. Find out more about this weekend's event at virginiaflyin.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.